Welcome to Fate Family and the Force. I'm Annabeth.
And I'm Oliver.
Fate Family and the Force is a podcast about just that, our faith, our family, and our experiences as Olivers in the Air Force.
And on today's episode, we talk about my experience at the Air Force Academy, some advice, as well as Memorial Day. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Hey guys, so I'm kind of driving this episode. Oliver's sitting in the passenger seat.
That's right. I'm here for a good time, not a long time.
Yeah, hopefully this isn't a long podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, so it has been about 4 years since you graduated from college and commissioned into the Air Force.
That's right. So kind of backstory for those who don't know, Annabeth and I went to high school together, and then she went to college in Kentucky. I went to the University of Mississippi. I did a year there, and then I went to the Air Force Academy, the other college, and did 4 years there. So I did 5 years total of college.
Yeah, so you are about to, well, once this comes out, you'll be a captain, Captain Oliver Harrison of the United States Air Force. And so it's been 4 years, like I said. Basically, we're going to talk about, would you do it all over again? Would you do the same thing, or would you do some things differently?
Wow. This is a super deep question. And y'all, this is something that Annabeth and I actually talk about quite often. And when you're with your Academy bros, your graduated friends and stuff, you kind of talk about this like just in passing. It always seems to come up at some point or another throughout the year, especially around graduation time and just big marks in your life. It wasn't easy.
Well, give a summary of not maybe your specific 4 years there, but just tell everyone a little bit what it was like going to the Air Force Academy.
Okay. So as I mentioned, I did go to a normal college before that. I did Air Force ROTC. I was planning on majoring in political science or public policy. Looking back, I probably would have switched into something else, probably like a business or finance or something different. I'm not really sure if I would have stayed at Ole Miss. However, I decided to go to the academy, so went through the process and did all that. And it's kind of a long process. I'm not going to get into the super details here. If you want to know more, like, I can point you in a good direction or just explain how it kind of works. Anyway, so I got accepted, and you show up during the summertime. You show up for basic cadet training. It's not the same as basic training as in like at Lackland or wherever they do it nowadays for like an enlisted personnel. It's a little bit different. It's run by the upperclassmen. So the academy is set up it's a four-year program, even if you went to college before. So yes, I had transfer credits and stuff for my classes at Ole Miss, but I still had to start over as a four degree or a freshman. So you show up during the summer, you do your basic cadet training, and it's like 6 to 8 weeks of like your really standard military, like welcome to the military. This is how you wear a uniform. This is how you march. This is how we're going to indoctrinate you. And they get you prepared to become a cadet. Now, like, that's something that I like to point out is it's basic cadet training. They get you prepared to become a cadet. And then school year starts. So think August timeframe. And you're still going through all this military development all 4 years at the academy. But the first year you're there, so your freshman year, is really focused. You're the lowest ranking person on campus. You have the most rules and restrictions and all these things like traditions that kind of go on and all this stuff. So you start your school year in August and you have a pretty big class load, I think of 15 credit hours or so. At the academy, it's unheard of to take like 12 credit hours, which is like the minimum at a normal university to stay full time. It's really normal to take 15 to 18 to even 21, 22 credit hours a year, just with the way the classes work. Excuse me. And so when you show up to class, you're doing your classes. So like a day in the life of a freshman, right? And this is kind of the most painful year because you're growing a lot. You're constantly doing push-ups and like military training and like nonstop 24/7. All 4 years you live in the dorm room. Your room has to be spotless and all this stuff, and it has to have certain dimensions. And so you're really under a lot of scrutiny 4 years, but for your first year, but you're with your other classmates, your dualies is what the phrase is. You're a dually. And it's like Greek for doulos, which means like slave or something like that. So it's like at West Point in Annapolis, they call them plebeians. It's Latin or Greek too for like something similar, like less than, right? So you're not really like a part of the group. So you're doing all these inspections on Saturday mornings, parades, marching, all this stuff. So an average day.
Go ahead.
Okay. So an average day for like a freshman, wake up at say like 6 a.m., you get your uniform already, you go out in the hall by like 6:15, 6:20.
And you have to wear uniforms to your classes and everything too.
Oh yeah. Constantly. All 4 years you wear uniforms to your classes. And freshman year, you're just, like I said, you're under a lot more scrutiny. So like people are going to be like, hey, your like uniform looks like crap today. Go change. And you go change. So wake up at like 6, you get ready, go out into the hallway and with your classmates, and you call minutes. Minutes is this like this tradition where you go out there and you like announce to the whole squadron you're in. Like, oh goodness. Like, there's a lot to explain about the academy. I'm not going to go into every detail, but you're in a squadron and it's about 100 or so people. So when you're calling minutes, all these people are getting ready in the morning and they can hear, like, you will say like who the, oh goodness, like the senior cadet officer or whatever it is for the day. You'll call out like what you're eating for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, how many days until graduation for your class, for the senior class, the junior class, the sophomore class, and then lastly, like your class.
So you have to just memorize all of this?
Yeah, there's freshman year at the academy is full of memory jargon. So any of our listeners whose husbands or themselves went to the academies or their wives went to the academies, like you've heard all this stuff like lots and lots of times. So you kind of do that and then you run to breakfast. And while you're at the academy, you're on the, as a freshman, you're on the marble strips. If you ever get a chance to go visit the academy, do it. It's a super beautiful place and like really interesting and cool. It's a really interesting campus. It's like only a handful of buildings. It's not complex at all. There's like two buildings that are dorm rooms, a huge academic building, the cafeteria, Mitchell Hall, and then there's like the gym. And the chapel. Like, it's super, super simple, like not complicated. It's really hard to get lost there. So you run to breakfast, you're having breakfast, and you have to sit at attention and eat certain ways. You can't carry your backpack on your back. You got to carry it in your left hand. All these like little rules are going on. And so after breakfast, then you go to your classes throughout all years at the academy are made up heavily of electives. So you'll, like, regardless of what you major in. So I majored in economics. I ended up taking electrical engineering, mechanical engineering, basic engineering, astronautical engineering, aeronautical engineering, two chemistry classes, two physics classes, two calculus classes. And then,
what about, did you have military specific classes? Like war class or something?
Yeah, we did. So we had military strategic studies. You take a class and you take like two of those. So you get such a wide variety of classes to be very, very well-rounded that by the time you're done with your sophomore year, like you can fill up your first 2 years at the academy with just elective classes without even having declared a major. So a lot of people will declare majors early on. That way they can go ahead and start taking classes they're interested in, or you can wait till later and then get it all out of the way. You have to take a PE class. And when I say class, I mean like think about having to write a paper about how to lift weights or correctly do jumping jacks and stuff like that. And all that stuff is graded and weighted to a certain degree.
And then you have to play a sport?
So this is kind of like one of the more, like, everyone always brings this up when I talk to them. They're like, oh, what activity would you do at the academy? And so, yes, every cadet is like a student athlete in a way. Now, it is a Division I school, so all the sports are Division I. However, what that means for most cadets is that they play on an intramural team, or they are in some sort of club that has like travels and plays in whatever sport they're doing or whatever activity, or you're on like the Division I team for like the school itself.
So it could be a wide variety of options of things you could do, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So then after your morning classes, so I'm not even like through morning classes, sorry, on a freshman, like this is just a normal day, right? Then you meet back up with your squadron and you march to lunch. And it's just like this time old tradition thing. You march to lunch and you have lunch as a squadron, and sitting at certain tables and stuff like that. Then after lunch, there's normally an hour built in for like dedicated military training in your squadron. And then you can go back to your afternoon classes. And then after your afternoon classes is when intramurals start, or your sports practice or whatever the case is. And then after your sports practice, you normally go to dinner, and dinner's kind of like a free for all type thing. Then after dinner, you go back to, do homework, and or go back to your squadron and do military work and then start homework. And probably close to 10, but somewhere between 10 and 11, try to go to sleep or something like that. So it's just really, really long days.
And then also you have a job you have to do within your squadron, correct or no?
So as a freshman, your job is just to like learn everything you can and memorize all this information that they're teaching you and giving you and be a good freshman. But yes, as you move through sophomore, junior, and senior year, you actually get responsibilities and then become in charge of people. And so, yeah, so while you're doing academics, while you're playing your sport, you're also working a job and constantly wearing your uniform like 24/7 all the time, it seems like. So it's very, it's like its own little world. It's really, really hard to explain. And where the academy sits in Colorado Springs, to leave campus, you have to drive everywhere. You can't just like walk or take a, I mean, you can bicycle. A lot of people do that.
And your freshman year, you can't leave campus?
That's correct. I am missing so many details now because I'm just making assumptions. But yeah, freshman year, you cannot leave campus unless you have certain passes. And then sophomore year, junior year, you still only have so many passes. And that kind of stuff is changing depending on what year you go and graduated. But in general, it's a pretty restrictive place as a freshman. And then it tethers off as you go closer to graduation. You also can't own a car until you're a junior or a senior. You can't be married. You can't have kids. Now, you'll hear stories about people who have kids or who were married. And like, there's all sorts of stuff about that. But at the end of the day, like, it's just a bunch of single guys and girls up there who are not married and don't have kids or cars and stuff, trying to get by.
Yeah. Okay. So what was the worst year for you at the academy?
Freshman year. I think that's the worst for most people, I would say, just because everything gets better after that. Like it's only up from there. And that's because you really can't leave. No matter like where you go, you're constantly having to follow some silly rule or something. You're not like a lot. I wasn't allowed to watch TV, listen to music, or talk outside of my room, or like an academic setting. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, it's really, really strange, but I guess they have their reasons and stuff to make me a better Air Force officer. And here I am as a captain now. So
how many times did you want to quit?
A lot. I'm kind of one of those guys, I don't mind talking about it. Some guys will be like, oh, I never wanted to quit, but I'll be like, no, I literally had the paperwork filled out a couple times, like just needed to turn it in. And I'll tell this, there's like a joke that kind of goes around academy grads will get, but like I went to like turn in the paperwork to quit and walk down to the the AOC, so the Air Officer, I actually don't know what that stands for anymore. Anyway, so like the actual Air Force colonel or major who's in charge of your squadron, I walked down to his office and he had already left for the day. And so I guess I'll try again tomorrow. And then that same thing happened the next day and the next. And then finally one day I walked down to his office and he was there and he was like, graduation's tomorrow. Congrats. So
that's pretty funny. Yeah. Okay. But besides that, why didn't you?
So it's a lot of pressure because I wanted to go so bad. I tried in high school and didn't get in the first time. So I went to Ole Miss, and knowing that, still wanted to try and get in again to prove to myself that I could actually do it. And so quitting was like, it wasn't really an option. Like, I would quit before I would get kicked out. I think that's kind of a normal thing, there, but explaining that to my friends and family that, hey, yeah, I quit because I couldn't hack it or because of like, it was hard, like, or it just wasn't, it was never on, I couldn't do that. Like, it's just tough. And a lot of people can get in a dark place in their life with that. And so I don't know. It's just like, I wanted to sometimes. And at the end of the day, I'd wake up and it'd be a new day and a fresh start in the morning. So.
Okay. What was your favorite year there?
I really enjoyed my second semester junior year a lot. Like, a lot of things like were looking up for me and just really vibing really well. That's kind of when we started dating and stuff, but progressively, like, academics are hard there. It's not uncommon to talk, like, at Ole Miss, I had like a 3.98 or something. Like, classes weren't difficult for me and all this stuff. But when I was there, like, hearing people who had like a 2.4 or 2.3, and like, that was okay. Like, that was pretty average. Like, good job. You know, and anyone with higher than a 3.0 made dean's list. And to also mention, the academy has an honor code. I will not lie, steal, or cheat, nor tolerate anyone among us who does so, or something like that. And so it's one of those schools, and people, yes, people do cheat. Like, congrats, like, we're all sinners and mess up and mistake. But like, I know for a, like, that place was hard pressed against it. And like, if you talked about it or were trying to get an edge on stuff, like, people would rat you out or you would get blackballed or whatever the case, however you want to phrase it, like, not a popular thing to do. And so that was also another stressor. Cause how many times has a teacher, like, in, you know, ever like been like, hey, I think you copied so-and-so, or, so-and-so wrote something really similar to you. Did you guys work together? And you're like, oh yeah, we did. And they're like, okay, that's fine. But at the academy, they'd be like, okay, yeah, you cheated. Congrats. You're going to fail this assignment and you're going to an honor board to talk about this and possibly get kicked out because you didn't write every single paper I ever wrote at the academy.
Did you learn English there?
Actually, I didn't. You would have documentation statements, and you go ask an academy grad like about a documentation statement, and everybody has a horror story about forgetting to put one in and like emailing the teacher being like, my documentation statement, like, I worked with so-and-so and blah, blah, blah. And like you literally could, in your documentation statement, right? Like, I copy and pasted Cadet Third Class Hill's entire paper and put it on here. But as long as you documented it, you weren't lying about it. You weren't cheating. You weren't stealing. You told the truth about it. And so that was kind of like, yeah, you were going to fail that assignment for doing that, but like, you weren't going to get kicked out. And it's one of those schools too. Like, if you missed a briefing or like, you couldn't miss class, that's a military duty. And so like, you just didn't have the option not to show up to your 8 a.m. because you wanted to sleep in. And yes, people miss class because of accidents and oversleeping and stuff, but you would get in trouble. And so like, I remember like not going to a briefing one afternoon cause I was like busy or something. And someone asked me, they're like, where were you? And I was like, oh, I was in my room. And they're like, you mean you just didn't show up? I was like, yeah. Cause it was better to not lie than to like get in trouble and kicked out. Like, the worst is they were just going to give me demerits or confinements or make me march tours, which punishments at the academy were really interesting too, because you could only get so many demerits. It was like 200. before they started a process to like remove you from the academy. You could do confinements, which is equivalent. Confinements in military definition is like prison. But there at the academy, you'd have to spend your weekend sitting in a room doing homework in your service dress. So your really nice uniform, it's really uncomfortable. And you have to do so many hours of that. And for each confinement, it was 2 hours of that. And then tours, you would get in your service dress with your little gun that they issue you and march around outside. And that was one for one. So one tour was 1 hour.
So how many of those did you have?
So all my academy friends listening, like, they'll cringe when they hear this, but I think I graduated with like 175, 180 demerits.
And you could only get 200?
Yeah. And then like tours, I marched, I want to say I had like 25 or 30. So like a good 25 to 30 hours. Cause for every tour, I don't have my parade cap anymore, my service cap, but I would have tick marks in them for each tour. Like I would take it off and mark a tick so I could keep count. And like, so a lot of people did that, and you could see people like myself had lots of them. And then confinements, oh my gosh, I think junior year beginning, I had like, I mean, at least 50 hours worth, so 25 confinements. And my grades were really good because I just did homework all the time.
Wow. Okay. So now looking back 4 years later, or eight years, I guess, since you started this journey, you can't say you would do everything, because if you didn't do everything exactly the same, you wouldn't be here with me and Jude. If that weren't in the situation, in the scenario, if you still would be here with us, or if we weren't here at all, you know, don't take us into consideration. But would you go to the academy again?
Yes. But I, knowing what I know now, and I have changed, and you can ask people who knew me back then and who continue to know me now, like, I have changed a lot as who I am as a person. I wouldn't have changed that way without it, without going to the academy, without meeting the people I've met, without going through trials and tribulations and going through a lot of suck to get to where I am now. I had so many opportunities. I had the opportunity to fly a glider, to solo a glider myself as my first aircraft I ever flew. I had the opportunity to jump out of planes. I was a collegiate cheerleader. I played rugby on a college level. I got to travel all over the United States with those opportunities. I got to do survival training early on in my career and get to spend time in Colorado and just leave Mississippi. I got to travel and spend a couple weeks at Langley Air Force Base and fly in a fighter jet against other fighters and throw up the whole time and meet cool people and have cool stories. There's a common phrase at the academy, stories over standards. And so that like really holds true throughout this. I would have never met some of my best friends and like been able to bond and grow the way I am. So yes, I would do it again. I'd want to still major in economics. I really enjoyed my major and what I studied there. I think I would still become a pilot and still do that because I just don't see myself fitting into any role in the Air Force other than what I'm doing now. And I think I would have a lot more grace and mercy for myself, especially with the demeanor I have now compared to then. Everyone there is hard on themselves. Everything at the academy is a competition. A lot of things in the military is a competition with you and your peers. But in reality, it's like in a deployed environment and like where I've been now and some of my newer experiences, it's not. It's one team, one fight. It's very much a unit cohesion thing. And they try to teach you that there, but you're still competing against your classmates. I would do it again. I would try to study a little bit more. I would take some stuff a little bit more serious than I should have. And I would take some other stuff less serious because it took me a long time. And I think this is for a lot of people, whether you're in the military or in college, the key, I think, for success in a lot of environments is finding out what's important and then finding out what's not important and then learning how to treat each of those individual things. And sometimes they kind of go, they're important for a little bit and then they become not important. So that's just overall advice I would give kind of in general, like have mercy and grace for yourself. I wish I had that. And then understanding what's important and when it's important and when it's not and what's not important. Yeah, I would do it again.
Okay. So looking back, you know, you're at Ole Miss, you apply, do the application process, whatever, to get to the academy again or go through that process again. You get in. What would you tell yourself at that moment now?
I would probably like party harder while I was at Ole Miss. Partied pretty hard, was in a fraternity and stuff. No, I'm just kidding. But I mean, maybe a little bit. I would just tell myself like take a little bit more, I don't know. That's tough because like what I said, like just then about the academy in general is what I would tell myself even at Ole Miss. And, you know, just be nice to people because I was kind of a jerk to a lot of people and that's, I've changed a lot. And you've seen that. And my buddy Shane has really seen that. Shane is, shout out to Shane. I know you're not listening probably, but if you are, that'd be cool, man. Shane and I did a lot of tours and confinements together. Because we were always just getting in trouble. And it wasn't like we were getting in trouble because we had alcohol in our rooms or we lied or stole or cheated or anything. Like, we never did any of that stuff. But, like, we would just be, like, playing around or someone would be like, hey, you're not wearing your uniform right. And we would mouth off to them or just dumb stuff. You know, most of the time my mouth got me in trouble. And I would say the same thing, like, having a cool head. And that would be some good advice, like, people are going to say dumb stuff to you. Just take it with a grain of salt.
Okay. And then what? May 24th, 2017. What do you say that day is?
Normally I say it's the best day of my life because that was graduation, but it's the third best day of my life. Marrying you being the first and then having Jude being born being second and then graduating the Air Force Academy. It's a super special moment and very vividly. I can listen to the music we march out to and get goosebumps and like imagery and like picture the whole day. And oh man, yeah, it was good. Annabeth was there, like families were there and the Thunderbirds fly over and do this cool thing and you're in your silly parade uniform and you do it and everyone's hugging and it's a COVID nightmare, but it's awesome.
Yeah, it's really fun. So looking back now, 4 years later, what would you tell yourself when you had just graduated from the Air Force Academy?
That's tough because that wasn't that long ago. But I got to think about that one. Like, I wasn't prepared for this question. Probably something just in general along the lines of, kind of, it's okay to not know what you want, but have a general idea, you know, and like, just be a good dude no matter what you do. Like, be level-headed and cool and don't try to be the people that everyone likes, but definitely don't be the people that kind of person that everyone doesn't like, you know, just be yourself and everything will fall into place. And I don't know. That's a tough one.
Yeah. That's good. I think I would tell myself, just don't even try to speculate what your and Oliver's life is going to be like, because it's the military and it's God and he has a plan and just trust the plan.
Absolutely. But yeah, it's a constant change. Things are always changing. There's not a lot of consistency at the academy besides marching to lunch. And then obviously like what you eat at the academy, it's like, well, you figure out the food schedule pretty quick. And then even after that graduation, like with military stuff in general, things are always changing. You're going new places. People are in, people are out. Airplanes change, all this stuff. And like, you can't control what you can't control. So don't get too bent out of shape when things change.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else about your Air Force Academy time?
No, not really. But if you guys do ever want to chat about it or have questions, like, I have a terrible memory, but occasionally some of this stuff comes back to me. And I have some pretty wild stories just from the time I graduated high school to like where I am now. And so if you ever want to like chat, or if you're ever in Northwest Florida and want to talk about it and get bored, or you're an academy bro, like, let me know.
Okay. So the other thing that's coming up this weekend is Memorial Day weekend.
Yep.
Okay. So Memorial Day weekend is honoring people that have died in service, correct?
Yes. Veterans Day, honoring the people who have served, who are veterans. And then there is an Active Duty Day or Armed Forces Day, honoring those who are currently serving. And Memorial Day, honoring those who have served and then passed away. Not necessarily died while they were in combat or deployed, but certainly is that is included, but not necessarily. So a lot of times service members just kind of get lumped into it all inclusive, right? For Memorial Day, for Veterans Day, for Armed Services Day, or, Bastille Day, if you World War One history, but, and that's okay. Like, I genuinely, yes, it's good to recognize each independent one and honor that, but in reality, like, you're still, like, you're recognizing some service from military members, and that is appreciated.
Okay. So do you think that people should do anything for Memorial Day weekend or Memorial Day besides having parties and swimming and going to the beach?
I think that is good. I think that's good. The fact that you can do that in itself, right, is an a testament to the people who had paid the ultimate sacrifice, whether it was while they were in service or they did their service and lived out their normal life and got to do those things after their service, right? I would equate it to like 4th of July as well. Like, people are going to party and celebrate 4th of July, and they're not going to go read the Declaration of Independence or watch National Treasure or whatever the case is. But I will say, if you don't mention it at some point near Memorial Day weekend or 4th of July or any of the holidays that kind of get lumped into that, like, you should just have a conversation with the people around you about like, hey, like, let's take a moment and like remember like what this day is about, you know? And I think that pays good homage to it. Now, you don't need to go out and lay wreaths on cemeteries and stuff. Like, people do that and that's awesome, and plant flags, like, I'm all about that too. But at like the very minimum, I think it's just good to mention it and talk about it and just take a moment, because it's just something that does get taken for granted, even though most of our listeners and us like are surrounded by it constantly, and so it's in our face. But like, if you're just the average American from the Midwest who's not near a military base and maybe has a cousin in the military, like, you probably don't think about it all the time. And then if you do, you're not thinking about it in the same way that we are.
Yeah. So would you say if you do know people in the military, like, thanking them on Memorial Day is good?
Yeah. I mean, it's like just any other conversation. If you thank them for their service or what they've done, whether it's on Memorial Day, Veterans Day, or Active Duty Armed Forces Day or whatever, right? Like, ideally, the person, it shouldn't, like, I would be, you know, just appalled if they were to snap and be like, no, you need to thank the people like who died. Like, it's about them. You know, normally it's just like, oh, you're welcome. You know, Memorial Day is about those who have passed. And like, it's kind of a little bit more somber, which, but yeah, like I would totally reach out to someone in the military and like, if, especially if you know them, and just be like, hey man, like whether it's Memorial Day or not, like if it's just a random Thursday and you know, like September, like do it. I mean, keep in contact with people and tell them that you appreciate them just in general.
Okay. And then how can we teach our kids or explain to our kids about Memorial Day?
This is tough because I almost feel like this is an age-based thing and a maturity-based thing, because you have to like almost have the death, a death conversation, right? And understanding that like people do die, right? So I couldn't explain that to Jude or young kids who haven't quite grasped the concept of death, because you should talk about Memorial Day as in people who have died, because that's accurate about it. The concept of what freedom is, like it's not an easy conversation even for adults to have, right? The concept of what freedom is and what that means to serve in the military and how that's allowed us to continue our way of life. Saying all those things are nice, but it doesn't really mean a whole lot to a younger kid or younger person if they don't quite grasp those concepts. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't talk about it. And I wouldn't say dumb it down so much to where it's meaningless, but like take some time and thought and put into it. And if it's super complicated, I am 100% positive there's some good resources out there that could explain this a lot better than I can, or that you may be able to, or not, you know, just not in the position to.
That's what I was going to say. I don't know this for sure, but I would be surprised if there's not like a children's book talking about Memorial Day.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, and maybe we'll do some research and try to put that in the show description here and pass that along. But I just, having the conversation is better than none. And I think it's, I would love to see like more and more people just have an appreciation for it. And a lot of people do, you know, so.
I think one thing I want to do with our kids as they do get older and we can have those more in-depth conversations about it is writing letters to people that have lost loved ones that were in the military. So if we know other kids that have lost a parent, like Jude writing them a letter, drawing them a picture and just thanking them, or, you know, a wife that has lost her husband, or parents that have lost their kid, and just, you know, telling them we recognize your loved one on Memorial Day and we thank you and thank them for what they did.
Absolutely. That's awesome.
And I don't think you have to be a kid to do that. If you need some like help, if you want to do something like that, let us know.
For sure. So when I was deployed, I don't know if I ever told you this, we got like a box of letters from like elementary school kids. You know, I don't know if you guys, like when we were in elementary school, like right after 9/11 and stuff, like that was a common thing to write soldiers who were deployed in Afghanistan and Iraq, just write them letters. And I remember reading some of these and talking to some of the guys, and they're kind of funny, y'all, because kids don't have a filter. And like, I don't know if you've ever seen them on Reddit or the, like, you know, photos on social media and stuff, but like some of them were literally like, I'm sorry that you have to deploy and like you're gone away from your family and you're probably going to die. Like, like, and we're sitting there laughing, like as we're, you know, eating our bonbons and stuff, you know, typical Air Force life. But so like, I thought they were good. They were heartfelt and funny, even though they were probably forced to sit there and write them in their class. But I remember writing them as a kid and sending them to like the guys who deployed from, you know, our hometown and stuff. So
that's awesome. All right. I think that is all for this episode. We hope y'all enjoyed it. And Oliver talked more this time, but maybe I'll talk more next time.
Yeah. We can ask you about how like going to Christian colleges and all the dirty little secrets going on there.
Y'all, I know the Air Force Academy was different and strict, but listen, you go to a small Christian college, it's different and strict too, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. All right, so we appreciate you guys listening. Let us know if you have any questions. We hope you enjoyed the show.